the process of brewing coffee, and the water transforms the essence of beans, or adversity holds the potential to be a catalyst for personal growth. In each episode, we invite you to join us in the art of reasoning, a thoughtful dialogue where experiences are shared, lessons are learned, and strength is poured into the cups of our lives. So join us as we converse, contemplate, and extract the true flavor of our struggles, transforming them into a source of empowerment. Come and let's embrace the challenges, brew them with intention, and together, pour out the strength to face whatever comes our way. This is episode 8 in the Adversity series of the podcast. I'm your host, Nurse Douglas Atkinson, and welcome back to the Mekwa Coffee and Reason podcast show. Online with us is a beautiful attorney and content creator. She is passionate about youth development, and as such, she has hosted multiple vision board brunches and participated in many goal-oriented workshops. Through her business, Char's Mind, her passion for youth development grew from a love of blogging to a love for hosting events that provides young adults with the tools needed to thrive in adulthood. With that said, she strives to motivate young adults as they navigate this new journey of adulthood. On air with us tonight is Miss Charlie Thompson, and she will be bringing us on a journey filled with academic struggles and change as she navigated the plains of a new environment in a new country. Welcome, Charlie. We are happy to have you on board tonight.
Hi, Tamara. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to make it onto your podcast.
And we're excited to have you. So as you had mentioned, a new country, and some might have recognized it, but you have an accent. So that means that you are not Jamaican. So do you mind sharing with us a little bit about the culture shock that you had experienced in this new country and how you had to readjust to this new environment?
I am from the Bahamas, and I started my law school journey right here at home in the Bahamas. And I studied at the College of the Bahamas, where I did my associate's degree in law and criminal justice. And then from there, I moved to the United Kingdom, where I did my bachelor's degree as well as the bar course. So there was a transition when I moved to England and had to experience this completely new environment. And I would say that initially moving there, it was okay because I had a few Bahamian friends who I was able to lean on, and they were able to help me with the adjustment. But as time progressed, moving from Brighton, where I did my bachelor's, to Birmingham, where I did the bar course, was where I really saw the, I would say, culture shock, per se.
Okay, so I'm new to the whole law thing, but you mentioned that you did a bachelor's and then you went on to do the bar. What's the timeline like? Or should I say, what's the courses like? Because I know that for lawyers, they do up to 7 years. Is that so?
Yes. So with the associates, that took me 2 years. The bachelor's took 3 years. And then the bar course, if you study in the Caribbean, so for example, Norman Manley in Jamaica or Eugene DePuig Law School in the Bahamas, it would take 2 years for the bar. But because I did it in England, that was 1 year. So my law school journey was about 6 years.
Oh, so the bar course takes you a further. Oh, okay, that's super cool. you mentioned the culture shock was when you stepped in a little bit afterwards. So you're from the Caribbean, so we know that things in the Caribbean are done a whole lot differently whenever we step outside. So what are some things that you had experienced?
So in the Caribbean, I would say that people are really friendly. And, you know, you tend to cling to persons that you see with a smiling face.
Mm-hmm.
In England, everything is so fast paced. Everyone's always rushing to go somewhere. People tend to have somber faces. Mind you, you have a few people who may tend to smile at you. But for the most part, it's like England was really, really fast paced. Persons were mainly worrying about themselves. And I understand that. So it was a little different. Another thing too, when I did my bachelor's, even though I was at a predominantly white school, the Black culture was still very evident. When I moved to Birmingham, that was not so. I can remember my first day there and I'm like, oh my goodness, where are the Black people? And I saw one of the girls on my course, it was a Black girl, and we smiled at each other. And from there, I would say that we formed a friendship. And the actual class that I was in, I was the only Black girl in the class. And surprisingly, during my bachelor's, that had never been the case before. Like, there would always be someone else who looked like me in my class. And to be honest, I felt like one of the teachers, his vibe was a little different with me versus the white students in the class. Mm-hmm. And I would truly say that this made me feel a way. I can remember one of the classes, like I cried. It was such a huge adjustment. And then after crying in the bathroom, I had to get it together because I had another class right after. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is too much. But that was a very, very interesting experience.
Did the, let's call it the sadness, when where you experienced the change and the fast-paced society and the inclusion, did all of that last for only a brief period of time?
Well, I would say initially when I moved, because I didn't have my friends from my bachelor's with me, it was more so difficult because I felt alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So even though being on the course itself, you know, those negative feelings still remained, as time progressed, I was able to find community so that I didn't feel so alone. So I spent quite some time looking for a church home. I church hops for quite a bit. Finding a community truly helped me to adjust, and it positively impacted my experience. And the girl that I mentioned earlier, who I saw on the first day of classes,
and she
one
smiled.
Day I just asked her, I'm super, super close friends, and we were able to just go through the journey together. And I would say having the community definitely helped the situation. Mm-hmm. But to say that my feelings of missing home went away, it definitely never went away. But the days got a little easier as I was able to build a community. And then there was also a young lady who had a youth organization. I decided to become a part of her youth group. I would do spoken word at her events. And that also helps me with my experience.
Spoken word. Yes, I do believe that's how I found you on social media. Where I saw one of your your poetry recordings. Was that also something that you used to help cope with your academic struggles as well?
I would not say that I used it for that. More so, I don't really write poetry like that anymore. But when I did, it was just like a burst of creativity. It just randomly happened, but it didn't actually stem from any academic thing or anything like that. And it was mainly like spirit-based Christian poetry. So yeah, it was just like, I guess my love letters to God and just expressing how I was feeling in different moments.
That's actually pretty cool. So for your academic struggles, did it start at the beginning of your law journey?
Well, in terms of academic struggles, I would say more so on the bar course. The work was tremendous. It was a lot of work, a lot of reading. And I think I was definitely overwhelmed during the course. And I can remember one day, I just saw all of the content that I had to study for my criminal litigation exam, and I just burst into tears in the library. Summer, I was crying so much on this bar course, it was ridiculous. But in terms of that, one academic struggle that I'll mention is that same class, criminal litigation. For some reason, I just could not grasp the concepts. And when I had the exam for that was in the middle of COVID. We had moved back to due to COVID, I had to move back home to the Bahamas, and we
had to do classes online. And I had like 3 a.m. classes, and it was just a huge struggle because of the time difference.
Whoa, 3 a.m.
And I had to study in the middle of COVID. And I think that had a negative impact on my mental health. And one of my exams, I actually did not pass. And this is the first time I had ever experienced any type of failure throughout my entire collegiate journey. So this was very, very distressing. And in the midst of this was actually when I started my Instagram live series. So in my first year of my bachelor's, I had actually started a blog, but in the midst of me not passing my class, I decided that I can't just stay down and stay sad, but I would do something with that. And that's where my Surviving in 20s Instagram live series was actually birthed.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the darkest times of my life, experiencing all this sadness and this pain, that's when I tapped into my passion and my purpose. And once I resat the exam, I was able to pass, and I was still able to finish the bar course with a very competent, which I am so, 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 so proud of.
I can just imagine. What are some of the difficulties that you faced while dealing with a loss? Because even though it's not necessarily considered, well, we will say quote unquote considered a loss because it's still alive, you can still do it again. But the grief of not passing that course for the very first time, how exactly did you, what are some of the mental struggles that you went with, you dealt with? You mentioned that it messed with you mentally. So what are some of the things?
I questioned God a lot. I was like, God, you know, I was doing stuff for you. I was trying my best. I was studying. Like, I just don't understand. Like, why would this happen to me? Why would this happen to me? And it was just a lot of self-doubt. Like, I just started to think, oh, well, I guess I'm just not smart enough. I'm not built to be a lawyer. I can't handle this. I'm not good enough. And I was just dealing with the negative self-talk in my mind. And having to move past that, because obviously I still had to study to prepare for the next exam.
Uh-huh.
So it was just battling with the negative thoughts in my mind and knowing that, you know, things happen and I just have to learn to deal with what happened and try my best to move past it and do better next time.
Did you receive any social support during this time to help you get through this time, you know? Motivation from your family or your friends that helped you to persevere?
My family and friends that were definitely there for me, encouraging me, letting me know that, you know, it's okay. And if I need help with anything, they would be there to assist. Also, like the friends that I made on the course, like my friend that I mentioned earlier, we were still able to study together, and she was very positive, helping me along the journey. So I definitely say I definitely got that social support that I needed during that time.
Okay, great. How exactly did you rebuild the will to persevere to get the exam done the second time? Because I can remember the first time feeling RENR, I was completely devastated. So I can just imagine how it felt to feel something for the first time. How did you rebuild all that will to persevere?
Well, firstly, I'd say I had to give myself a moment to just stay in the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people think that you can just automatically come out of a sad moment and you'll be okay, blah, 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 blah. But I think giving ourselves a moment to just feel our feels, like feel the pain, feel the sadness, and just giving myself grace during that time. And just taking it one day at a time after trying to get back into the swing of things with studying again and everything like that. It was more so giving myself grace, taking it one day at a time, and just the support and motivation from those around me. It helps me to rebuild and to continue to study again for the next exam. And also, I was very grateful because in COVID, a lot of persons, job opportunities were rescinded, obviously, because of the uncertainty. And I had already received my job offer, and this didn't stop that offer. So I was like, I have to pass because I already have this job opportunity. I can't let them down. I have to do my best. And that was one of the motivations as well, because I had that job opportunity. And I just believed that that was God just encouraging me that even though, you know, things may not have gone my way in this particular area, he still knows the plans that he has for me, as Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, and his plans to prosper me and to give me hope in the future. Because despite this sad situation happening, in the midst of that, I was still able to have a job opportunity when so many persons had been losing their jobs in the midst of COVID. So that also kept me going and motivated to continue to work hard. And also knowing that my failures don't define me. I think lots of times when we have a failure or something disappointing happens in our lives, we tend to let that one thing define us and define who we are. And it's like, we're so much more than our failures. We are so much more than our bad days. And it's just giving ourselves grace to continue to carry on and to know that God is always with us and he'll never leave us or forsake us.
Beautiful. That was so beautiful. I can just imagine you mustering up the strength day by day to face the self-doubt, to face the negative talk, to face the thoughts that come every day that may want to tell you that you're not good enough. But grace says otherwise. God says otherwise. His word says otherwise. And
yeah,
if he says that, then that is what I'm going to believe.
Yes.
That's absolutely beautiful. I have a few questions here for you as we look to close the show. Let's say that you are talking to your adolescent self right now. What are some practical steps that you would give her to overcome the culture shock and change that she went through when going to a new country, a new environment, possibly mustered up the strength to face racism in such a wide country? And how would you also encourage her through the academic struggles that she will most definitely face during completing the bar?
I would tell her to make sure that she finds a community, because in those moments when you aren't near your actual biological family, that community is going to be your family. That community is going to be there for you in those dark times, in those times when you feel overwhelmed, and they'll be there to support you. I would also say to keep it in God, because there are certain things that only you and God can talk about, because some things you just don't want to tell other people. And just know that you can tell everything to God. You can lay all your burdens at his feet and he'll always be there for you. And just to continue to be the best version of yourself, step up to the game, work hard, and just to continue to be you, because at the end of the day, the right people are going to love you for you. And those persons who may treat you in a particular way, don't let that bother you, because maybe they're just not your people and they're not for you. But you're going to find the right persons who are for you and who are going to be there to cheer you on along your journey.
That is so true. And what encouraging words would you have for someone, a young adult that may be going through a similar situation right now?
I would say it's okay to cry. I love to stress this point because I'm an emotional person. And I think it's okay to cry. It's okay to have those moments where you just feel overwhelmed and you just want to let it out. Like, you can let it out. You can cry. And in those moments, give yourself grace to break down. Like, it's okay. You're only human. And once you've had your time of crying, you give yourself grace and you try your best to pick yourself back up. Do little things day by day to help to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Maybe some persons may need to write in their journals to help them to cope with a challenge, or maybe even a counselor. But try each day to do a little bit more than you did the day before to help you to move out of that dark place that you may currently be in. And pray to God. I know at times people may feel like this is a cliche answer because, you know, some people may say God doesn't answer immediately. But mm-hmm. there is a peace that you get when you put your faith and your hope and trust in Him. And I'd say pray to God, like continue to whisper that silent prayer. And if we're being honest, sometimes when we're going through those difficult moments, we may not even know what to say to God. But cry out to Him. He knows what your heart yearns to say that probably may not be coming out audibly. Just cry out to Him. Know that He hears you. Know that He loves you. And know that everything happens for a reason. And at the end of the day, it's all going to work out. So just continue to have hope and faith and believe in yourself.
That spoke to me just now, even though it wasn't for me. How does it feel to have passed the worst of all of that? How does it feel to overcome that specific, well, those specific adversities and to just be standing tall right now, to be able to speak to your young adults when you're having your workshops or seminars to say that, hey, the worst is going to come, but don't sell yourself short. You can definitely overcome.
Mm-hmm. It feels surreal, to be honest, because that girl who was studying the bar course in 2019 and then 2020 is a completely different person than who I am today. And I don't think that girl would have seen her way out in those moments. So now it's just like a feeling I can't explain. Like even when I mention to people, oh, I'm a lawyer, they're like, oh, wow. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So now it's like to be in that spot, to be in this moment of truly like being an attorney, doing legal work, it is honestly a great feeling. And I'm forever grateful that I didn't give up on myself and that I continue to trust in God and I continue to work hard despite the adversities that happen. I'm just so happy. And yeah, I just feel amazing.
Heavy on the, and the I didn't give up on myself part. Because sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. We don't wait it out. We don't allow God to work on His timing, because honestly, I don't feel with timing, you know. It's not our timing. It's His timing. And sometimes He's just waiting on the right time. We've done all that we can. We just have to allow Him to do the rest. And as you mentioned, to give ourselves grace.
Yes, for sure.
So we just want to thank you for sharing such an inspiring story with us. For some of us here in Jamaica that are looking to, or in the Caribbean overall, that are looking to go to different countries such as the US, the UK, you know, Dubai, we're going to face those culture shock. We're going to face those challenges. It may not be the same for each person. As in, say, puss and dog have the same look. What I might experience, you might not experience. But at the same time, it's important, you've reminded us that it's important to allow things to just happen, take it day by day. And if we can find in a community, it really helps a whole lot, because we may not have our friends and families from home journeying with us. So we will definitely have to create a new bonds, I should say, with individuals that are going to help us to get through those times. Because as much as a lot of us may not want to admit it, we need social connection. We need the love of others to get through a bad day. We need others to share our triumphs with, right? It's things are a whole lot better when we have loved ones to share it with, because the joy that we're feeling, man, it's a wholesome feeling when we have a community to share it with. And you have reminded us just how important connection is. And thanks also for reminding us to give ourselves grace to cry when we need to, because not a lot of us are okay with expressing ourselves in that manner. We think, say, weak, if we should look at tears, if we experience the emotions, as you had mentioned, we have to experience the emotions. We have to stay within the emotion for, you know, not all the time, but mm-hmm. to just allow our body to process the loss, to process the sadness, to process the grief the way that it yearns to do. When we do that, it provides a whole lot of relief, and then we can take it day by day. Then we can take it each step that it comes with. As you mentioned, for some, they can try counseling. You may not had used poetry for processing this very thing, but for others who may not have any other release that they want to try, they can definitely try that. You also mentioned that persevering, we have to persevere. You had a driving factor. You had a job waiting for you and you couldn't ease up on the break. You couldn't ease up on the break because you were fortunate enough to still have your offer. So you had something going for and you use that as mm-hmm. your own guess to say that, okay, I'm feeling this way right now and that's okay. But here what, I still have something that I need to accomplish. The self-doubt, these negative thoughts, this negative feeling, it is only for a while because God says so.
Yeah.
You reminded us that even though sometimes we're going to question God, he's still going to be the one that is going to bring us through the hard times. His word remains as a backbone for a lot of Christians. And yes, not a lot of persons may understand this, but prayer works wonders, man. Even if you're if you're not there to get an answer, but being within his presence and you literally mm-hmm. feel that a hug there from God, man. The peace and the comfort for God, man. I saw a social media post the other day where a lady was saying that when she was younger, she never understood why every day the Christian then come at church and bawl. Like, what are you crying for? Every day, sir? Every Sunday or every Saturday, you're at church and you're crying? But as an adult, when I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Yes, that's so
and
true.
All he has done for us, our soul cries out, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank God for saving me. Thank you so much for sharing such a beautiful, beautiful story. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Shar's Mind. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. That's Scharsmind.
Okay, great. Thank you. I met Shar through her poetry. So I do hope that you find a few of her previous posts. They were really inspiring.
Aw, thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Meko Coffee and Reason. And if you like what you have heard thus far, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast channels on all platforms. Leave a comment under each episode to let us know how this podcast episode have impacted you. And feel free to send us a message on our Instagram page at Meko Coffee and Reason or via email at schoolnursedouglas@gmail.com. with the names and contacts of those who you would like to see next reasoning with us. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in the Meko Reason series, let us know just the same. So as we say hello to a brand new week, let's remember our podcast mantra. We are all brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. As the week goes on, allow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to inspire authentic conversations, and may each episode leave you with a sense of connection, reflection, and a renewed appreciation for the simple joy of sharing thoughts over a cup of coffee. See you next Sunday on the Meko Coffee and Reason podcast show.
Mm-hmm.